happened a little bit before that with my wife and I, when we found out, but we have announced it once we got the clarification. So we found out early December, and then we progressed into the ranks and figured what stage it was, the degree, what treatment plan we had in place. So technically, I was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and started treatment on January 9th and 10th. And that was our first session. We went through immunotherapy and chemotherapy. Was able to get through the 4 rounds, and it was diagnosed through not only the Mayo Clinic in Arizona, but also through the White Sox helping facilitate getting CAT scans and biopsies and all this sort of stuff. So I just want to really reach out to thank the White Sox organization for everything that they were able to do. I don't think it would have been as quick of a process if I wasn't able to kind of lean on those guys. I want to thank all of you media people for kind of respecting my wife and I's privacy. It was obviously trying times for us, but we really appreciate the fact that it was a hello in the hallway or little things like that, and it was no kind of crying or trying to do anything like that, which we really appreciate, because as you can imagine, it was not exactly the best times of our lives, but hey, it's another thing we step towards and move forward. And as of now, I've got a clean bill of health. I'm currently in remission, and I will be starting my rehab assignment in Gwinnett on Friday, and I leave tomorrow for that. So I've had a couple games in Arizona getting my legs under me, realizing that the bullpen is a lot further away than I remembered it last year. and also, like, before it was all discovered because of some lumps in my neck. I found a lump on here, which now there's a scar right there, a lump on my back of my neck, the side and here, that were the main triggers. I told our training staff, they came around June. I didn't tell anybody until July. I got a blood test done and nothing came up, which is fun, and blood cancer doesn't come up in the blood, which is great. But everything that the White Sox did for me was huge, and has definitely contributed to being able to be back as soon as I have been and moving forward with this kind of this path forward.
If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll bring the microphone to you in the middle left, Scott Market.
Oh, no.
Let me have a great shirt, first of all. Second, just kind of a two-part thing. What was your and Christy's reaction when you hear the word cancer and now come all the way through, and how do you feel? What's your mindset as you go back to doing what you love, you know, playing baseball again?
First of all, this shirt is from Obvious T-Shirts. Everyone wants to have a look at that one. Going in, I had some oxygen lumps and stuff like that. And so before I got a needle biopsy and stuff done like that, I had started Googling myself because I was a sponge for knowledge and wanted to know everything. And I pretty much convinced myself that it was a lymphoma to start off with before I actually got diagnosed. So it wasn't as big of a shock to me as it was to my wife. I still remember it was December 7th when I saw the team doctor, and he's like, look, it's showing like it could be lymphoma. When moving forward, like, the next step is to do a CAT scan to see, and then a CAT scan from there turned into a biopsy. But yeah, it was definitely a shock to the system. I was actually at the field when it swung by the doctor's office, which is in Glendale as well, and then I had the nice 40-minute drive home to really contemplate things. But it was never a thing to me where I ever worried, like, I never self-involved and looked into it as a why me thing. I look at it as a why not me. I mean, as some of you may understand, I tend to have a little rosier perspective on life than Gen Pop. So that was my process behind it. I'm like, look, I've got this. This is my next challenge. And we started looking into ways that we can make good of this. Whether it be awareness, whether it be like any sort of donations, whether it be helping out people in similar situations, we look at it as an opportunity to help the outside community move forward. But that was something I knew that going into it, I could never self-reflect. I could never be introverted and hold it all in and just the woe is me, that attitude. I've seen family members go through it. I've seen, like, you hear the stories of people going through, you see it, how much it ravages not only the person, but also the spouse. So
not only was I worrying about myself and making sure that I had the right mentality, but I wanted to make sure that everybody around me knew that I was attacking this thing head on and to not worry about me and my mental state, because I'm attacking this no matter what.
Front row, Dion.
Liam, was there ever a moment that you wondered if this day would come, that you'd get back to playing baseball?
No, not at all. As soon as I found out how, the regular treatment timelines, I'm like, okay, how can I beat it? So I started January 9th and 10th. There was two options. There was the option of 6 months. So I was back-to-back days, treatment every 28 days. So there was six treatments, possibly, or four treatments. And I was like, look, we're going to do whatever we can. After the third treatment, I'm going to wait. I'm going to get the next PET scan then. And that'll decide whether I have four or six. And I was shooting for four. I was shooting for everything that's kind of, it's best case scenario, no matter what we're going through right now. But I did want to harp on the one thing that has helped me get back this quickly was the amount of people that didn't have my phone number reaching out as either survivors or players or anything like that. I think the biggest message that I got, I don't want to read it out because I don't want to get it wrong. It was from Jameson Tyone. And his was, it's your journey. Nobody can tell you what to feel or what to do baseball-wise. Do whatever you feel is right. And that was on January 30th. And I think I had treatment. I think I actually threw a bullpen the next day, right around then. So I was like, screw it, I want to push this. And before that, I was just planning on playing catch, making sure I was staying somewhat fit and then moving forward. But that was one of the messages that really hit me in the eyes, and I think it was right around that the next day or a couple days later, I was on the mound throwing a bullpen, and that's the only reason that we're going to talk about getting assignments this quickly, because I've been throwing bullpens. I've got up to two games in Arizona, and without that kind of message, and that was relayed from Chad Bettis to Jameson and Jameson to me, and now being relayed on to another couple of people as well. But it's messages like that that kind of really forced me to dig deep and be like, look, I've done this my entire career. This is what we're going to do. We're going to try and push the limits and see what we can do. And you know what? At the end of the day, if I can push and I can feel all right, that's what we're going to do.
James?
Hey, Liam. I think we were talking at the end of last season where you were kind of upset that you felt physically not up to, pitching, I think, multiple innings at the end of last season. Now looking back, how much did that affect you kind of last year, or was it already kind of taking effect, and now how do you feel now compared to it?
Yeah, so obviously with the lumps in my neck coming around June, when I got the PET scan done, one, I looked like a Dalmatian, which is not great even though we had one, but it turned out the lumps in my hips were actually bigger. So there's no way to put a real timeline on it, but if I had the ones in my neck in June and the ones in my hips were bigger, there was always a chance that I pitched down there all year last year with lymphoma in my system. And so I'd like to think that was the reason that I struggled to recover, and at the end of the year I was damn near limping to the finish line. But that's one thing that obviously can come through, and who knows how much that actually affected me. We'll find out when I get into as long as Bader's in here four or five games in a row and move forward with that. But I don't think it helped. I think it definitely took its toll on my immune system moving forward with that. But it's only time will tell. But as you know, I'd like to be available for multiple innings and go back to back and all these sort of things. And that was severely limited last year. And hopefully that was a contributing factor to it. We can move forward and we can get back to what I like to do, and that's pitch every day.
Middle left, Cheryl.
You've gone through this journey and you've dealt with a lot of things. Has this changed your perspective on life itself?
Not particularly. I think I've always had I've never really had a life is short or anything like that, but since my kind of career turned around in 2019, 2018, I haven't changed my mindset. It's always been a positive next day is what we're going to do. It's never been a look to the future. It's been taken care of today, and I don't think that's really changed. But I think actually that was a contributing factor that really helped me attack everything with this. Treatments 1 and 3 were the hardest for me. Treatments 2 and 4 were a lot easier, but it was those days where you just on the couch not being able to move too much that kind of really, that was the days you needed to dig the earth, the days where you needed to find that positive mental attitude and the aptitude and moving forward. That was, that hasn't really changed my outlook on life, but it's definitely made me miss being in this clubhouse. It's definitely made me miss being a part of the team and being around and quote unquote, keeping Tim in his place.
Vinny, what?
Hey, Liam, you mentioned all the messages you received during everything. What were your interactions like and your messages with your teammates? You know, the guys who are standing in the back of the room right now, the guys who you just said you missed being around on a daily basis.
Yeah, obviously, when I announced that, it was about a month before everyone showed up for spring training. I got a message from pretty much most of the team. Just they were thinking of you and were wishing you all the best and all this sort of stuff. And then we worked out with the training staff that I'd come through a little bit later than everybody just so I can not be around everybody with like low immune system and all that sort of stuff. So they were great with being able to come through, and then I'd still be there. So I'm still bickering with Lance and talking with Tim and all this sort of stuff. There was still that camaraderie going through there. And for me, it was just life as normal when I was there, which is fantastic, which is the best thing that you could ever hope for was not have people tiptoe around you in case they said the wrong thing or anything like that. But I think coming in, one of the first things was yelling at somebody that I had cancer, you should let me do this. that was, I think that broke the ice pretty easily, and then everyone kind of got a little bit more relaxed. But spring training was great because I was able to see some of the guys, I was able to be in there, I was able to be on the field, I was able to play catch, I was able to make fun of pretty much anyone I wanted to. And, if they sort of think back, it was always a little interesting. But it's definitely been hard. I know that my last round of treatment started on a hug on April 3rd. And knowing that that was my last treatment was a huge bonus. I don't think I would have been in the same. Like, I think it would have been a lot harder with me not having an end date. I think that would have been a lot more difficult. But luckily, that was my last treatment, and then I liked it after that. We did a bone marrow biopsy to make sure that everything was out of my marrow, and we were good to go.
Darryl?
Liam, you were in spring training, we heard you were doing bullpens already, which seemed remarkable. Were you pushing the envelope there? Is that normal? And how were you able to do that and do the things that you've been doing physically at the pace you're working at?
So I got very lucky in the fact that my doctor was a former collegiate gymnast who then went through leukemia herself. So she was very understanding of the athletic way of doing things. Unfortunately, as anybody who's had anything to do with cancer or anything like this, it is a very, very scientific. Everything is done based upon research. Everything is based upon this. So there was no guidelines on bullpens. There was no guidelines on athletic endeavors. There was no guidelines on that because they've never really been able to do a case study on enough people to get some relevant data. But for me, it was, and her was, as long as you throw it, as long as you feel okay doing it, as long as you recover fine doing it, she said, I have no problem with it. But if you feel anything, you have to be cognizant of why your body feels. So luckily, I didn't feel anything other than the usual pain that I'm not used to. So it was definitely, I was pushing it to see how far I could go. But in saying that, I was responding well. And if I wasn't responding well, I wouldn't have been able to do as much as I did.
What is your physical strength level like now in terms of what's normal?
It's very hard to gauge because I don't lift, so I don't know my physical strength. But otherwise, I feel great. I've been long posting pretty much consistently, other than the treatment week and then a couple of days after that, just to make sure I wasn't rushing back after a week off throwing every time. But other than that, I was long posting pretty much the entire time. I was throwing bullpens other than the week and the next week. I was Tuesday, Friday, so. Got probably more bullpens than most of the guys back there just because I wasn't allowed to get in the game because James wouldn't let me. That's Kruk, by the way. James Kruk.
David Schuster.
Liam, you touched on this already a little bit, but how much did you miss the camaraderie with the guys and the competition on the field, and how much are you just looking forward to getting back into doing all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the one thing that everybody who retires always says, it's not necessarily the competition, it's not necessarily competing in that, but it is the clubhouse atmosphere that everyone misses, and that was definitely a blow for me. It was tough. It was extremely tough not being in the clubhouse, not being able to kind of go through the trials, tribulations, because you just don't know what's going on. Being back and being able to kind of get into the group a little bit, it was definitely emotional. Unpacking my locker yesterday, coming back in here and seeing some new faces, seeing some guys that you've been around for the last couple of years. It's been nice to get back and get into that. And some of these guys, everyone's different, but you talk to these guys, and some guys need to sort of kick up the ass, and some guys need to kick you on the ass, and it's just everybody gets better from having the right people in the clubhouse, and it's getting back into this has been huge. And I've been in contact with the pitching guy, with Kurt and Ethan and Pedro and all this the entire time, and that is also helping kind of feel somewhat part of it as well, being able to kind of talk to guys and go through things and all this sort of stuff. It's been that was one thing that I could never be more thankful for, is just guys reaching out consistently and keeping in the loop of how we're doing and always checking in. That's something that was really, really cool to be a part of.
Little back.
All right. That's so good. Liam, do you have any setbacks from the treatments that you've been through, and what do you foresee your time frame in joining the team?
Yeah, I mean, setbacks were every treatment session I had. So I had treatment on Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, I was pretty much catatonic on the couch. Friday, I'd make sure to come to the field and move around a little bit, but then it's kind of, you take 4 days off from throwing, and then it was the slow ramp, like the couple of days ramp up before I could get back into it again. That was mainly the setbacks baseball-wise. Health-wise, I'm not a breakfast person, so I had to eat breakfast while I was taking all the medication for the anti-nausea and the things to boost my immune system, and then the pills to make sure that I didn't have bone pain and all this sort of stuff. So the medications I had to eat a lot regularly, so I ended up gaining a little bit of weight, which is a better alternative than what I was expecting. I was so worried about losing weight that I gained 15 pounds. So, now it's, that was a setback, but that was it really. I was lucky in the fact that I got told, hey, the more you move, the more water you drink, the more, and you stay active, it's better in the long run, because you become, and you start not, like, you start getting used to moving around a little bit, where if you sit on the couch, you start getting used to sitting on the couch, you just feel worse. So moving around and able to get on like the Peloton and all that sort of stuff and go to the field and just kind of keep that exercise going, being outside, and that was a big thing. I did notice that I get sunburned a lot easier, which is bad for me, because I got sunburned the hell of a lot as it was, just because you get a little bit more sensitive to the sun. But other than that, yeah, it wasn't too bad, and luckily I was able to kind of get on the mound and get everything flowing. So right now I'm in somewhat of a February. It's obviously now I'm just trying to ramp up and then get this thing going, but we have a timeline in place. It's just a matter of how it goes and how I feel getting into games, and now having to adjust to a pitch clock that I haven't used yet. But it's those little things that we have a plan in place, but nothing set in stone, because it all depends on how I recover and how I go.
From left, Jake Bowen.
Hey, Liam, you mentioned the stress this can be on the spouse. How important was your wife in terms of, you coming back and beating this thing?
I could never say how much she did for me, ever. Being there every day, especially the first few rounds of treatment, because they were the hardest on me physically, and being a spouse, sitting next to your husband while he's sitting on, like, lying in a hospital bed, writhing in pain, not being able to do anything. I don't think I'd ever be able to understand or have that side of that kind of hurt going through. But driving to and from every treatment, driving to and from every test, she was moving by my side every single step of the way. kicking me when I needed to be kicked to get out and do something and get active, telling me to slow down when I'm doing too much because I've been going the other way. I don't think I'll ever be able to thank her enough. I don't think I'll ever be able to show my gratitude enough. I don't think I'll ever be able to do anything that even comes close to what she was able to do for me throughout this. And that's something that, I mean, I've already been in love with her for 15 years. Going through that, I don't think it's, you could have had our bond stronger throughout it because of just everything going on. And, yeah, I also want to thank her for being around her. People don't understand, like a lot of people don't understand, yeah, it's tough on the person who has it, but it's hard on the spouse because you're helpless. You're sitting there without any way of helping, without any way of fixing anything. So I want to thank a lot of these guys, their wives reached out to Chris, and that was, I think that probably helped more than anything with her, was just having the people reach out to her. I mean, the boy came over and just told us they were coming over, by the way, not us, they just came. And dropped it off a bag, and all the people had sent gifts of blankets and teas and preggy pops, which if you've never tried them and you haven't ordered them, check them out, they're delicious. Things like this, it's just those small things that people thought of, that went a long way for both of us, and it was something that we can never thank anybody else for. Like, we'll never have enough words, and never be able to show enough of how much that helped.
You also got a lot of cards from kids, right?
Yeah, we had some cards that were sent into the White Sox. They passed those along. And I was able to look at those messages. Some of them were interesting. Some of them weren't from kids that were interesting. Matt Bowler and his wife Christiane, they sent some stuff from Toronto. They did a chapel in Toronto. They sent some stuff from their group. Most of those cards kept saying they liked me in a Blue Jays uniform better when I was there than I did in a White Sox uniform. But yeah, it's everything that was, it was really, really cool. Just people reaching out, whether it be on social media, whether it be in card form, whether it be in anything. It's just the amount of people that reach out, even asking for me to sign baseball cards, but having a letter like, hey, I went through this. It's you don't realize how many people have been affected by cancer until really literally affects you. And it's something that, yeah, it hit me pretty hard, the amount of people that have recovered or have had someone recover or have lost someone, or yeah, it's just this thing is disgusting, and it's the sooner we get a treatment plan and everything in place, the better.
Chris, upper left.
Liam, when you went public with your diagnosis, you did it to raise awareness and to help others. Why was that important to you?
Well, you may as well make it good at this, right? It's not the best thing that can happen to you personally, but there's always a silver lining left to everything. I think that is something that I've tried to ingrain in everything around me, is no matter how bad, no matter how bleak, no matter how kind of soulless something looks, there's always a silver lining, there's always something you can gain, there's always something positive you can come from. And whether that be some of the different organizations we've worked with now, whether that be with just kind of, as I said, raising awareness or donating money to help people or going through and kind of buying wings and things like that. Because the little things like that, that's stuff that isn't covered by insurance. The things that help with the confidence levels, the things that, as I said earlier, the mental aspect of everything going through treatment is about as important as anything else. You have a positive mindset of it, it makes it a lot easier. You have a positive mindset of yourself going through it by having a wig that you can wear that makes you feel more confident about yourself. That was one thing that kind of a lot of the nurses stressed to us, and that was something that we wanted to make sure we took care of. And there's been a lot of people that have gone in there that haven't been able to afford stuff that have now been given wigs and hats and everything like that to make sure that they're comfortable in their own skin, which goes a lot towards having a positive mindset on everything.
James?
I know, obviously, you, a lot of the charitable groups you work with talk about wanting to reach out to you or give stuff to you. Is there more stuff you want to do charitably that's coming out of your experience through this? And also, how many Lego sets did you get throughout this whole process?
There are a lot of Lego, but there's always something more. Can I drop you the way we want to? There's always something more we want to raise awareness and help work with. There's always more things that we want to do. That was nothing that was never going to stop us. We still have our initiatives with South Slider Society this year coming through. That's not something that was never going to stop. Regardless if I was here or not, it was going to happen. But yeah, it's brought some different charities to our eyes and being able to kind of help out. We've done some Zooms and stuff like that. We've worked with some organizations that we may not have heard, and things like that. There's always more we want to do. There's always anything we can do to help out, whether it be, as I said, raise awareness, whether it be donations, whether it be wearing shirts, whether it be anything along those lines, anything we can do to help, I'm all ears, and I would love to be able to reach out to either me or the White Sox about different ideas that we can get towards either raising money or helping find a cure for obviously not Hodgkin's lymphoma, but any sort of cancer at all. And for me, it's I'm stuck in that middle group. One, I found out as a young adult, which is weird, 34. The books I read, I'm allowed to read them, so which is great. But it's also a very unfunded group of cancer patients. We tend to think of childhood and geriatric or adult. We don't really tend to think of anywhere from 18 to 40 as a group. It's not a group that generally gets it, but it is a group, and that the treatments are different. The resources are different. And that's something that I want to raise awareness. And the little ribbon for adolescent and young adult cancer is glittery and stuff like that. So it meshes well with my personality.
That all, Liam. Thank you. Share your time.
I think it was one more.
One more question.
Yeah.
Mike,
go on. Yeah. Sure. Liam, you raised the bar so high. You pitched to such a high level. Do you feel like whenever you do get back, will you have to be kind to yourself, thinking maybe you won't immediately pitch to that level, or will your expectations be, I'm going to be the Liam of old right when I step back on the mound?
I don't plan on regressing, but no, that's been my mindset. There's no taking it easy. There's no, if I go out there and I give up a hit, I'm still going to be pissed. If I go out there and walk somebody, I'm still going to be pissed. If I go out there, it's going to be the same mentality that I have, and that's the only way I've been able to do what I've done the last couple of years, is by having that mindset of there's extremely high expectations. It's not going to change because, oh, I've been through this, so I'm allowed to give up. No, there's going to be none of that. It's going to be, I'm going out there to do a job. My job is to get this done. If I don't do it, I'm going to be mad. And that's something that I think has come through the last few years, that there's no give or take. I can't be that way, and I can't, there's no middle ground for me. It's, I'm either okay with sucking, or I'm not okay with not succeeding. So that's the one thing I don't think, there's going to be no kind of qualms or resets or anything like that. It's, as soon as I'm back, I'm meant to be in mid-season form. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.